Hi, this is Marshall Younger, producer for Avengers and Odyssey. Welcome to the unofficial podcast. I'd love to stay in chat, but I'm rewriting Nathan's script right now.
Oh, come on. Everyone's going to get that reference to what happened in episode 372. Nathan, can't we live it in, please? No. Please, Mr. Younger,
Oh, would you? I've got a lot of work to do. Get back to your desk.
Okay.
Hi, this is Sarah.
And Chris.
We're just getting ready for a time of wonder,
excitement,
and discovery.
Welcome to
the unofficial Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to the 45th episode of the unofficial Avengers in Odyssey podcast. I hope you all enjoyed our interview with Katie Lee. She's a great individual and a very talented voice actress, so I hope that was an entertaining podcast. Well, Sarah and I had originally thought about reviewing Kidsborough, but with our crazy schedules over the last few weeks, we unfortunately didn't get an opportunity to review it before she left for camp, and we were actually both hoping she'd be available to record today, but alas, that is not the case. However, I figured the next best thing would be to talk with the creator of Kidsborough. So, Marshall, thanks for joining me today.
Oh, thank you. This is always fun.
Indeed. Well, first things first, how has life been treating you after now that Odyssey's on hiatus?
Well, it doesn't feel like we're on hiatus. It's been very busy getting ready for the live show, and we're getting some new people to write for us now, and so getting them up to speed has been a lot of work, and it seems like there's just a ton of things that are coming up right now, new and different projects and things, and so I wish it was more of a hiatus, but it certainly doesn't feel like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, maybe I shudder to think of it, but maybe you guys should extend it even longer. Maybe that would help.
Well, no, I don't think radio stations would really appreciate that, or our marketing department, or any of those people that sell our product. Yeah, I think they would have a problem with that.
It's true. I think most people, myself included, were just absolutely dreading the moment that Odyssey went on hiatus, since there won't be another episode for another, 14, 15 months?
Yeah, that's right. Well, I hope by the time we get there, it'll be worth it. So.
Yeah. Well, and with things like Kidsborough, the official podcast, your books, and the official guide, I think there'll be enough material to keep us entertained.
Yeah, I hope so. Keep the Odyssey hunger, fed for a while.
Yeah, definitely. Well, speaking of Kidsborough, I just wanted to start off our discussion by thanking you first for creating Kidsborough. I think it brought a real new dimension to the world of Odyssey, much like Maris did in Passages. Both were sort of similar in that it was set in Odyssey. The Odyssey was the backdrop, but at the same time, they also told a unique story from a completely different angle. So I appreciated that part of Kidsborough.
Well, Kidsborough has been a part of my heart now for quite a while, long before it ever aired. So I really enjoy it. And I'm glad that it eventually became part of Odyssey. Originally it wasn't. It was just its own novel with nothing to do with Odyssey. And I'm glad that we made that connection because I think the Odyssey audience is a great audience for Kidsborough too. So.
Yeah, I agree. First question we had here was what inspired you to write Kidsborough?
Well, I was writing I wrote a screenplay. I used to do that, and I've kind of given up on that now. But I wrote a screenplay. It was called Staying Through the Closing Credits, and this was probably 12 years ago. And I gave it to one of my writer friends, Robert Skeed, actually. Yeah, you guys, some of you old listeners might know that name.
Yep.
So I gave it to my friend Robert Skeed, and he always looked over my stuff. And he read through it, and he was getting excited because there was this one scene where these kids were making their own movie, and they were kind of acting like adults, and one was a director, and one was... And so he was getting excited because he thought the whole screenplay was going to be about this kid's world that was created, but then it didn't go that direction, and he was disappointed. And the screenplay ended up not being very good, It won't be at a theater near you anytime soon.
Oh.
But anyway, so but I was intrigued by the idea of this kids' world, and so that's where Kids Bro came from.
Cool. Well, actually, Kids Bro is a part of Odyssey canon, right? So will it be included in a future album, or maybe released in a separate package?
Well, we know that it's going to be part of the Truth Project package. I don't know if you guys know about that. Paul McCusker wrote 9 of the episodes, and then 3 more from the Kids Bro. The Truth Project is something that Dr. Del Tackett does for adults, which is just it's a worldview lecture, and just talking about Christian worldview and what truth means, what you know, what it means to believe what you believe about Christ and about Jesus, about God, and all these things. And so, the Truth Project is the Odyssey version of that, sort of the dramatized version of that. And so, Paul McCusker wrote 9 episodes, and we actually recorded them in April. And so, those are actually going to go into Truth Project seminars and that kind of thing. And we'll be out for regular retail. It won't be a part of it won't be like album 51. It'll be like a special album. But anyway, Kids Bro is going to go in that. I don't know if it's going to go into a regular album or not.
Okay. Well, I mean,
at this point, we don't have any plans.
Right. Well, I mean, it was also given out as part of the official podcast as well. So
that's right. Yeah.
Many people have already found it.
And there were some ideas about packaging the radio drama with the books. You know, putting it in the same shrink wrap, maybe all 4 books, and then the 3 dramas.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure if that's going to happen or not either.
Right. Just going back to Kids Bro, I really liked how it kind of kept with the theme of the best small town, even though it was its own separate entity. I enjoyed the numerous references to past Odyssey shows, and some people, some of the listeners thought that the first part was a direct parallel to Pipe Dreams, where Charles goes on a field trip to learn about, you know, different professions, and he gets stuck with sewage management, and that was kind of similar to when Ryan, Alice, and the other kids, they didn't get the most out of their career day. Another reference could be Mayor for a Day, when Kurt imagined what it would be like as the mayor. And I'm assuming those references were intentional.
Well, no, actually, I didn't. That's true, though. That's a very similar premise. The originally Kids Bro just was. It just existed, and there wasn't really any story about how it was created. And then I thought that a natural thing would be is that they were trying to do the jobs that they wanted to do. And then the natural way to go is to do Career Day. And they were dissatisfied because they were not able to do it the way they wanted to do it. To me, that was a great incentive for them to create this town. As it turns out, in the dramas, Witt actually creates the place, and then they sort of take over from there. The books are a little bit different. I had to make a few changes. The books are a little bit different than the dramas for different reasons that I made those changes.
Yeah.
But Pipe Dreams is certainly similar in that way. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I think it was a good way to bridge Odyssey with Kids Bro, because otherwise I don't know where the link would have been without that, the Career Day thing. So that was good.
That's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. And I don't like the idea because Witt, you know, we've always made him out to be a person of inventions and creativity. And I really like the idea that he was the one that came up with this, because it's just really consistent with his character and brings, you know, something like this would bring a twinkle to his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. I personally enjoyed the fact that you guys brought back Captain Quinn and Fred Holstein in part one. And I guess I was just looking back and I didn't realize how long it's been since Kenneth Mars was on Odyssey. I think it was back in 1997 with For Whom the Wedding Bells Toll.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, and the funny thing was we didn't know how Kenny would do if you know if he'd been being away from a character that long, you never know how they're going to get into it again. And boy, he didn't miss a beat.
No.
He was very funny, very energetic, and just got into the character immediately again. And it was a blast to get in the studio with him. He was very funny.
Yeah, well, I recently was listening to some of the Eugene and Katrina episodes, and I remember the one where Katrina's actually first introduced to Holstein, and his character is kind of, I guess, like Harlow's in that he must be fun to write for.
Yes, he is. Because, you know, it's just like Harlow or Wooten. He doesn't have to make sense.
Yeah.
You know, he makes sense in his own mind, and but he's just, you know, and so it's fun to not have kind of the rule that, okay, this has to make sense. Because that's a tough rule to live by in writing.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know, everything has to make sense. Well, you don't have to make sense when you write for these guys, so that's fun.
Neat. Well, I think most people thought the whole Kidsborough series made sense. I actually put up a Kidsborough survey on our blog, just asking people, you know, to share their thoughts on the show, and I had them rank the three episodes collectively on a scale of 1 to 5. And now, granted, we've only had 18 people take the survey thus far, but about 3/4 of them gave it 4 or 5 stars. So for the most part, the feedback from fans that I've been in contact with have been pretty positive.
Well, that's nice to hear. I had no idea how people were going to respond to this. You know, because, I mean, being Odyssey fans for so long, and then to have this sort of alien come in for 3 episodes, I really didn't know how people were going to respond to it. But I'm glad they like it, and I think, you know, if we get enough of those kinds of responses and letters and things like that, then that makes me believe that we'll probably do some more.
Well, good.
Here and there.
Good. Well, let me just go ahead and read one of the comments we got. One person wrote in, part one was much more mature than I expected. The rest was more targeted for their target audience, and I think that they're referring to the younger group. Of course, AIO is too, but AIO does a better job of adding adult humor and drama, unquote. So, obviously, your books were geared toward a younger audience, but I personally felt that Kidsborough captured the innocence of childhood while also touching upon the maturity of some pretty relevant issues, much like Odyssey does, actually.
It's interesting you say that, because I really didn't gear the books toward the younger audience. I think the length of them makes it look like maybe it's for a younger audience, but there's some concepts in there that would be very difficult for a 7-year-old to figure out. You know, concepts like in book 2, there's a Great Depression type of thing,
right? Oh, wow.
Like it happened in the United States in the 30s.
Right.
And there's concepts about, you know, interest and a bank interest, and there's you know, judicial system and that kind of stuff. And so I was trying to, one of my goals was to kind of teach those things. And to me, that those are kind of more mature concepts. So it surprised me. I guess when you think a kid's town, I guess the automatic response is to think that it's for younger, but it really, that wasn't my intention at all.
Oh, well that's interesting, because I think, well, I guess in many respects, Odyssey has different layers to it, and depending on your age level, your experiences, you'll tap into those different layers of the show and messages it teaches. And I think the same goes for Kidsborough, in that if you're younger and you don't have maybe the background or the reference for things like the Great Depression or government, even when you don't have this background, you'll just take the story at face value. But when you know, have those experiences, or you're maybe you're a little bit older, you have that history, then you'll understand and say, "Whoa, that really makes sense. That's really cool how, you know, he touched upon that."
Well, if that's what happens, then that's cool.
Cool. Well, in the audio series, the main topic, speaking of which, was government and its position in society. And another listener wrote in, I really liked how well they explained the system of a civil government. In many ways, younger kids could understand. Most kids may not understand how corrupted a government can become without basing their standards on the Bible. Overall, I really liked it. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, well, you know what, that's part of the Truth Project. And so that's why, you know, an early draft of this didn't really have that much to do with that topic. But then when we decided we were going to put it in with the Truth Project package, we decided to go the direction of, okay, what would a government be like if it's not based on truth and godly principles? And so that's, you know, that was a late addition. I'm glad she had that reaction to it, or mm-hmm. he, whoever that was.
Well, part one actually proposed the question, what is the purpose of government? One of the questions that I had was what was your intent going into the audio series aspect? What was your goal, to explain government, or was it to prompt kids to consider the significance of following God's word?
I think it's both. You know, I think teaching concepts of government and economics and politics and the judicial system and even teaching American history, was all part of it. And then also, you know, I was trying to teach a moral lesson about God's word and about truth and about strong foundations. I think all of that went into it. The American history part of it, you know, I wanted really badly toward the end to make the reference to Watergate, you know, because of the Nixon thing and how he covered up, and that's kind of what Ryan does.
Mm-hmm.
Because in every of the book, in all the books, there's some reference to history, and there's some parallel in Kidsborough to American history, and so I really wanted to do that, but the team didn't think that we needed to dredge up, you know, Nixon and Watergate so much. So I sort of made it kind of general about, you know, their corrupt politicians and stuff. And that was important to me too. I just think, you know, those little references to make kids think, want to study more about these things.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Well, I think there's a point in part one where Ryan decides that the purpose of government is to simply promote what is good and punish what is evil. And I know that the episode touched upon it a little bit further, but I mean, for me, that could easily raise up a whole other discussion on moral relativism and how society is struggling with differentiating good from evil. And I mean, if it was that simple, you know, just promoting what's good and punishing evil, then people wouldn't really have a problem with their government. But that's not the case, because if you take any nation and you know, survey their citizens, very few of them would say that they're completely 100% content with the government. And that's why I appreciated what you did with Kidsborough, because it really helped illustrate why our governments are flawed and why, most importantly, it's imperative that we turn to the Bible and everything.
Yeah, that phrase, promote what is good and punish what is evil, that comes directly from the Truth Project. That's Dr. Del Tackett's wording right there, which, you know, he's quoting from the Bible. But the idea of what is good and what is evil is tackled also in the Truth Project under Paul's some of Paul's episodes. There's some pretty heady concepts going on there about government and good and evil and stuff, and so it was really fun to tackle those things in a kid's sort of setting.
Well, that's fantastic. Now, you mentioned you threw in some references to American history, and one now being a Canadian here, I didn't catch every single one that you threw in probably, but I did note one that at the end of part three where Jill tells a quick story about how Ryan gave back an extra 9 cents to the cashier, and
uh-huh.
That was very reminiscent of the story of Honest Abe, where President Lincoln supposedly walked many, many miles to return only a few cents that he overcharged to a customer. Was that an intentional reference there? Or?
Yeah, maybe subconsciously. I know that story, but honestly, until you just said it, that didn't cross my mind. Maybe subconsciously, that came from that.
Wow.
But yeah, perhaps.
Cool. Just going back to some of the listeners thought here, a key highlight for many of them were the main characters in Kidsborough. You had Ryan, Alice, Jill, Nelson, Pete, Valerie. Their characters were very genuine and definitely relatable as well. I love the scene with Valerie and Nelson at the part three where she just wants him to get out of there, and he just gets what he wants, and then she says, get out of here. Another one of our listeners wrote in regarding Kidsborough, a very, very intriguing idea, and one that every kid everywhere has thought. Marshall does a marvelous job in making the kids actual kids instead of just little adults. And I guess that prompts the question, how did you come up with the ideas for the main characters?
Well, I think the ideas for the characters came from what jobs I wanted in the town. Because, you know, I knew I wanted a mayor, so I needed a leadership type kid. I needed him to be more of an every kid, not quite so many quirks as maybe the rest of them, because he needed to be level-headed and make good decisions. And so that turned into Ryan. I needed a policeman. You know, I decided that it'd be fun to just have somebody who's sort of making up these laws as she goes along or he goes along. And so I thought, well, what would be a fun type of policeman character? Well, maybe someone who just really, really takes the law seriously, and will not bend on anything, you know, and then make it a kid, because I mean, these aren't real laws. Nobody has to take these things seriously. And so we've got this character who, who's just over the top, mm-hmm. trying to keeping the law and keeping the peace, and even talking about needing a weapon, those kinds of things. And so that became Alice. And then you needed in the books, actually, I have a character named Scott, who is Ryan's best friend, and he is a detective. And of course, there's just not that many mysteries to solve in a little town, and so he just kind of sits around a lot. But when a mystery does come up, he tries to solve it. And so I thought, well, what kind of fun person could be a detective? And so I made him sort of an Inspector Clouseau type. I mean, he doesn't have the accent, he doesn't, he's not quite as bumbling as Inspector Clouseau, but he's this kind of silly kid, that tries his best. But and so I went on from there. The jobs really dictated what kind of characters I wanted.
Well, that makes sense. While we're on the topic of characters, I have to bring up Nelson. I thought he was very similar to the young Eugene character in A New Era, kind of like a science whiz, and it certainly sounded like the same actor who played young Eugene / Everett. Was that him, or am I just crazy?
No, that was actually a woman. Her name was Georgina Cordova, and she was actually, I don't know if you know this, but all of the kids were played by adults in their 20s. I think they're probably all in their 20s.
I figured some of them were, but I wasn't sure about all of them.
Yeah, every single one of them. And so this is just an experiment we were going to try, and we thought this would be a good opportunity to do it with a kind of a spin-off kind of thing, because we just wanted to see if it would work. And, I haven't heard any complaints about them not really sounding like kids, because, I think they probably sound a little bit older than we want them to, but when they're butted up against each other, it probably doesn't seem like it's a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now Georgina though, she really sounded like a kid. I think she sounded more like a kid than anybody else, and which was okay, because I see Nelson as a little bit younger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Than the rest of them. So what was your question?
I was asking whether that was Shane Baumel, I guess. But
right. Yeah, no, that was a woman, yeah.
Hmm.
So it's sort of like Bart Simpson's played by a woman. Well, now we have one too.
Yeah. The next question here comes from a fan who might just own a real gem here. Apparently you were responsible for The Great Kidsborough Takeover, a novel released back in 2000. And the question is, why did you wait so long to write the rest of the series after The Great Kidsborough Takeover?
I did not wait so long. It was really a God thing to see how this actually came about, because I wrote The Great Kidsborough Takeover, and it was published by Review and Herald, which is a publishing place in Maryland,
mm-hmm.
and then they were going to do a whole series, and so I wrote the whole series, and so these books have been written for 8 years at least. Probably book four was probably written in 2000, so yeah.
Wow.
So 8 years, and then they decided to go a different direction. I'm not sure why. I don't know whether they didn't like the way the series was going or whatever, but they basically cut off the series, and so I had these books that with nothing to do. They gave me my rights back to number one, which was nice of them.
Yeah.
And then in 2000. There just suddenly came a hole in the youth publishing line. We don't really sell or publish youth fiction anymore. Focus doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, 2000, they did. And so they bought these. There was a hole in their line, and so I said, well, I've got these books over here, and they said, okay, well, we'll use it, but you need to Odysseyize it. And so I did, and I put, I added wit and. Connie and Eugene are in some of the books very briefly. And so I had these four books and they bought them. And then it was just circumstances made it so that it just wasn't published for a long time. Just one thing after another. Okay, we're going to publish it this year. Well, no, but we can't do it this year because of whatever reason. And so finally, it came to the point where, well, let's just publish these things. So we did. And so it was actually, it ended up being perfect God's timing, I think this is a great time to have these books because before, I don't know if we would have been so willing to put as much effort into it to make a three-part drama and these kinds of things because this seems like it's a perfect opportunity to do that with album 50 just being done and mm-hmm. And we're sort of entering a new era kind of thing. And so we just thought this is a perfect time to do it, and I think it is too. So even though it was frustrating over the last 8 years, I think it worked out just great.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, have you've only written those five then?
Four.
Four then. Okay, well, four and the Great Kids Bro Takeover.
Great Kids Bro Takeover is essentially the same as Battle for Control, which is the first
okay.
one.
Oh, I see. So it's just re-released, so in a, kind of the match.
It's just Odyssey-ized, and there's a few things that are different.
Ah, I see. Will there be any more subsequent Kids Bro books in the future?
Well, it depends on how popular these are. I haven't really gotten much indication about how well they're selling or anything at this point. But, you know, if things go well, I would love to write some more.
Awesome. Well, if it's any help, I'm definitely be picking up a copy for myself, or at least I'll say it's for my younger brother, and that'll
Excellent.
Work. That'll work.
All right, there we go.
Quickly, just going back to the survey I mentioned earlier, one of the questions I asked listeners was whether or not they'd be interested in hearing more Kids Bro episodes, and an overwhelming 78% of those who responded said yes. So with that in mind, do you plan on writing any more Kids Bro radio scripts?
Well, I think what the plan is, this is still a little bit up in the air, but I think that a way to use it would be to use it the same way we use the Imagination Station, where, you know, if we have an opportunity, we have the desire to do an episode at Kids Bro, then we can. You know, just like we have, you know, one episode in the Imagination Station per year.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. So, you know, it's just one device that we can use. And the Kids Bro characters will be in Odyssey now. We've already made that decision. And there will be possibly be more Odyssey characters that are in Kids Bro shows.
Ooh.
Too. So.
Well, I guess that answers the next question of whether or not they'll be interacting with the current Odyssey kids. That's really neat.
Yeah, they were the Kids Bro kids play a dominant role in the Truth Project, and then we've already come up with some ideas for album 51 that include some of the Kids Bro kids. So
awesome. Well, I guess that's all I have for regarding Kids Bro.
Okay.
Just moving on here, we're only a month into the hiatus, but I'm sure Kids Bro will remain one of the best ways to get our Odyssey fix in the meanwhile, but there are a few other special things coming up, the first of which is hopefully Nathan's guide. Now, we're hearing conflicting information about the release date. Apparently, one of the users on the message board called Focus on the Family, and he got the impression that the book wouldn't be available until, or by August 16th. So is that true, or will it be out just in time?
The latest date that I heard was August 1st. It'll be in our hands. And so, I mean, the goal, and we were desperately trying to make this goal, is to have it available at the live show. And so I can't imagine that not happening. So yes, you should be able to pick it up at the live show if you're
Fantastic.
Coming.
Fantastic. Yeah, because I know some people were thinking about pre-ordering it first and then bringing it to the show, but I get the impression that it's just better to kind of get it there than ordering it and getting it late.
Yeah, I don't know what would happen if you ordered it beforehand. So yeah, I mean, you're pretty safe to come to the live show and pick it up there.
Awesome. Well, I'm definitely looking forward to the event. It's going to be one special weekend for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's going to be fantastic. We just did a read through of the script. This is like a third draft of the script. Still many, many more drafts to come because everybody just wants it to be absolutely perfect. So that's going to be painful, but still an interesting process. And so. I think everybody's going to be really pleased. And I tell you what, the actors are really excited about it. And they keep calling us and saying, you know, and asking us questions and those kinds of, and I think they get as much of a kick out of this as you guys do.
That's cool.
The interesting thing, I think, you know, Jeff Harnell has been with us for a long time, but he's never been to a live show. He's never done a live show
with
us.
That's true.
And so I don't know that he understands the breadth of Odyssey and all its fans, and how big this really is, because you know he does a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
On television, animation, and all sorts of stuff, but I don't think he understands it, and so it's going to be interesting seeing his response to this, and how many people actually, how many people just love Wooten. I'm sure people are going to come up to him all the time, in the autograph line, just saying how much you know they love Wooten.
Yeah. How do you plan on running that? I'm not sure. I know you guys have done an autograph session after the fact, but do you anticipate like 2 hours of that, or an hour, or how long is that going to run for?
Yes. It's going to go 2 hours. And gosh, I hope we can get them all in. we anticipate the place is seats 1500, and there's still plenty of tickets available. And we're doing two shows. So we've got to get, we have two different autograph sessions, first of all.
Right.
So we've got to get 1500 through in, 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
Although I'm sure that there's a lot of the 1500 that won't want to stand in a line for 2 hours. So
yeah, that's true.
Maybe we'll get lucky.
Hopefully. Well, I'm definitely not going to skip. I'll wait 2 hours if I have to wait 2 hours. I mean, it's been 20 years of listening. Well, not 20 years. I've only been around for 20, but I've been listening to the show for a long time, so it'll be fun to finally be at one of these live events.
I tell you what, it is going to be worth it. If you're an Odyssey fan, this is a once in a lifetime kind of thing. So, love to see you here, whoever's listening.
Yeah. And what a perfect timing too for the event.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's about it. Thanks so much, Marshall, for taking time out of your busy schedule.
Well, sure. These are always fun, and call anytime.
Oh, I'll be calling you while you're on vacation. Don't worry about that.
Okay. All right.
Oh, wait a second. You won't be home. Never mind.
All right.
All right. All right. Take care.
Okay. All right. We'll see you, Chris.
Okay, bye.
Bye.